advancing innovative research, academic excellence, and family-centered care to transform outcomes for children around the world. Children's Mercy Kansas City presents the audio interview series, Transformational Pediatrics, with host Dr. Michael Smith.
So today's topic is the GERD, the bad, the ugly, when dosing guidelines ignore a big problem. My guest is Dr. Valentina Shaknovich. She is an assistant professor of pediatrics and associate program director for the Gastroenterology Fellowship Research Program at Children's Mercy Kansas City. Dr. Shaknovich, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mike.
So let's talk, you know, obviously, I think most practicing physicians will tell you They're having some concerns about PPIs, right? So the proton pump inhibitors. So tell us
Absolutely.
A little bit about what got you interested in really looking at the PPI in the pediatric population.
Well, the story starts very simply in clinic, just like a lot of research does. The reality is, approximately one in six kids that we see in the GI clinic is either overweight or obese. That number, depending on which part of the country you're in, rises to one in, as high as one in three. As a clinician, I'm frequently faced with the question of, okay, how the heck do I dose proton pump inhibitors for these children who just may be overweight or obese are at higher risk for gastroesophageal reflux disease or GERD. So when we prescribe these medications, we literally have no guidelines as far as what is the appropriate dose. That right there was the clinical question that gave rise to this line of research trying to figure out, one, what is the appropriate dose of proton pump inhibitors for obese children, and two, does that dose need to be different between obese and non-obese children? When we look at some other medications that are out there, sometimes dose modifications need to be made for some drugs, but not other drugs when they're prescribed to obese patients. In pediatrics, we traditionally prescribe medications on a milligram per kilo basis. So if we apply that rubric to an obese child, we could be prescribing medication doses that are greater than the currently approved adult dosing range, which probably isn't the right thing to do, but it might be. So that question right there is really what gave rise to the theory of research. Combine that with the recent publications that are in the recent evidence that's coming out regarding the potential consequences, unexpected adverse side effects of high-dose prolonged use of PPIs. When PPIs first came on the market about 30 years ago, was the first FDA approval for PPIs, really they were deemed as fairly safe drugs because on a one-time dose or a short-term treatment course, they really had a very tolerable, favorable side effect profile. However, what we didn't account for 30 years ago is that being such potent and effective acid suppression medications, we would have patient A on these meds long-term. And now we're finding out that perhaps long-term PPI use, especially in higher doses, is being associated with all sorts of adverse side effects, such as mineral deficiencies, frequently resulting or being associated with, rather, fractures in patients who've been on these medications in the long term. For kids, that's really problematic, because if we're starting these kids on high doses of proton pump inhibitors, they're going to be staying on these doses for a long time, right? So they may be getting an overall exposure plus 10 years compared to the adult.
Yeah. Well, so let's just get down to the nitty gritty of it, Dr. Tina. So what do we do then, right? So we already know that. So here you have an obese child. He or she has been diagnosed with GERDs. The current dose of the PPI is not working. We're scared to bump that drug up because most doctors see the PPIs as not. We're questioning them a little bit. What do we do in this case? As we're trying to figure all this out, what advice can you give, you know, the general practitioner or general pediatrician today? What should they do?
Well, I think the reality of it is we have to be very careful in how we dose these medications. The research that we're doing is designed to give these guiding principles and these guidelines to the you know, frontline, the prescribers of the medication. We recently submitted a report to the FDA based on one of the research studies that we conducted, suggesting that in reality, obese children may not need as high doses of proton pump inhibitors to achieve the same systemic exposure to the medication as their non-obese peers. We're optimistic that the FDA will take this evidence into consideration and perhaps augment some of the labeling language to specifically include obese children. Currently, the majority of labeling language for children simply states if a child is X amount of years old or weighs an X amount of kilos, then you should prescribe the medication either based on mix per kilo or kind of cap out at a certain dose. But what the guidelines or the labeling guidelines don't address right now is what dosing considerations should be made specifically for obese children. And that sort of makes sense because we didn't have as many obese children 30 years ago, right? We've all heard that obesity is on the rise, unfortunately. And two, traditionally, when clinical trials are conducted, they are conducted in the average patient, which by definition, an obese child who is outside of that average, right, they're the extreme, they were excluded from these clinical trials, which is why we think at Children's Mercy it's so important to actually conduct these investigations in the patient populations who are getting the medications.
Right, right. Well, right now, in your current practice or at Children's Mercy, so what have you done? So you take an obese child with GERDs, and have you dosed them at a lower dose than what might be suggested on the label? And what kind of results have you had from that?
So from a clinical standpoint, I think, again, it's very important for us to have all of the information available before we start making these treatment decisions. But what I have shared with my colleagues and what I've incorporated into my practice is to stop and think about the knee-jerk reaction of, oh, wait, I have a chubby kid. Maybe I should just empirically increase the dose or, of course, yet double the dose. Really, that's not the right approach from just a systemic exposure to the medications. What we've seen with our research is that obese children, when they're given the same amount of drug on a milligram per kilo basis as non-obese children, actually hold on to the drug longer. It takes them longer to clear the medication. And they don't need that dose escalation. So it may be more appropriate from just purely a systemic exposure standpoint to give them the same dose as non-obese kids and fight this urge to increase the dose just because you have a child who is twice the normal weight of the average 10-year-old or 7-year-old or whatever have you in clinic.
So, you know, we know obesity is a major risk factor for GERDs in children, well, in adults as well. Is that the only reason? Is that the only main driver of the increase in incidence and prevalence of GERDs in the pediatric populations, or are there things going on?
Well, I think as with most other conditions, it's a multifactorial process. Certainly, obesity is one risk factor for GERD. Diet is another one. You know, other lifestyle choices play a role as well. Genetics certainly plays a role. We do see acid reflux conditions kind of run in families. So there's lots of reasons, I think, why GERD is so prevalent. Plus, we have to remember that proton pump inhibitors are used for other conditions as well, not just GERD. Eosinophilic esophagitis is one example as well. This entity, PPI-responsive eosinophilic esophagitis, actually calls for high-dose EI therapy. This becomes really important when we consider what is a high dose of a PPI for obese children. Well, it seems like, at least based on the two studies we've conducted, that high dose PPI is actually the normal dose for a non-obese patient. And that's powerful information because we certainly don't want to unintentionally or unnecessarily overexpose these kids to PPIs and potentially increase their risk for some of the adverse events we've seen from prolonged or high-dose PPI therapy.
Right, right. So, Dr. Tina, so So you've defined the problem well. We're looking at the research to really help to improve our dosing in the obese population. Where do you think all this is going at this point? You know, because it's still, you know, we're still speaking to everyday practicing physicians out there. Again, where do you think we're going with this? What are you hoping to get out of this research? What do you see out there?
I think this research is simply step one of a trajectory of research that really examines dosing practices for obese patients. To me, the pediatrician, obviously it makes sense to study pediatric obese patients. I know there's work going on the adult side as well. The reality is obesity is an issue. It is not going away anytime soon. So while we have researchers work on cures or treatments for obesity, we have to live in present day and realize that obese patients are at higher risk of a ton of comorbidities that require medications, right? So it does not make sense to me that we don't have guidelines and have never done the studies in the case of most drugs to figure out what the appropriate dose is for obese patients. The reason we started with proton pump inhibitors is, as I outlined, it's a big issue in my clinical practice. In the large scheme of things, they're considered relatively safe drugs. Where I see this research going is really expanding our work to other commonly prescribed medications to obese children. The questions right. that pop in my head is the finding that we observe with increased systemic exposure or more bang for your buck, if you will, from a milligram of PPI, does that translate to other medications like antihypertensive medications, metformin, any other drugs that are commonly prescribed? And that really gets at least in my head, at looking at the mechanisms that are driving this variability in drug exposure and potentially drug response in the obese population. If we can right. figure out what drives the difference, then I think we can generalize those findings to other drug classes.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, obviously the goal for everyone is to reduce childhood obesity, but it's a reality mm-hmm. today. It's going to be a reality for many years to come. And so knowing how to dose medicines. Yeah, unfortunately. But knowing, like what you said, knowing how to dose them appropriately with all kinds of medicine it's a reality. We have to do this kind of research. I think you're right,
right.
on. And I wish you the best of luck with what you're doing. And Dr. Tina, thanks for coming on the show today. You're listening to Transformational Pediatrics of Children's Mercy Kansas City. For more information, you go to childrensmercy.org. That's childrensmercy.org. I'm Dr. Mike Smith. Thanks for listening.